Since the start of the Bahraini revolution just 2 months ago, nearly 30 people have been killed by the security forces. So why has Britain, a close ally of the country, remained silent about human rights abuses in Bahrain?
Have you passed this on to the government?
This might be made by your country.
We don't want to do anything that will upset the rulers.
I spent 10 days working undercover in Bahrain, filming the violent crackdown on dissent the Bahraini government doesn't want the world to see. From arbitrary arrests to the use of live fire against unarmed civilians, the state's repression now targets Bahrain's entire Shia population. In the besieged village of Bani Jamra, human rights activist Nabil Rajab explains the situation.
Well, as you see now, the situation is critical, and as the tank is everywhere in the street, all the villages are sieged by the GCC forces, and people still protesting, and we have one guy died yesterday, and we have tens of people injured. It's sad that we can't take them to any hospital, because the only hospital that we have, it has been taken by the government. And all the injured people, we've been treating them at home and with volunteer doctors and nurses.
I was lucky. Just days after this interview, armed police stormed into Nabil Rajab's house and arrested a group of American journalists just for speaking to him. Since the Saudi army entered Bahrain, the country's Shia majority has been subjected to a reign of terror.
Police is all around and us 24 hours indeed, because we're asking for legitimate demands. One of the demands is that we're asking for freedom. We ask for an elected government. We want our freedom. That's what we want. And unfortunately, the government doesn't understand us, and they try attacking us with live ammunition, with tear gas, day and night.
In the village of Saar, I attended the funeral of the 15-year-old boy, Syed Ahmed Shams, who was shot in the face by police while playing football with his friends.
كنا بنهرب وشافوا قاموا يطلقوا علينا كذي يوم صادت الشهيد في راسه وغمى عليه وطاح صوبه من سيل دموع طاح صوبه وقام يستنشق من الغاز وطاح ما قدر يكمل.
Thousands gathered to mourn Bahrain's latest martyr and to call for the downfall of the Al-Khalifa dynasty. But back in London, you'd be forgiven for knowing nothing about Syed's death, or about the other innocent civilians killed by the Bahraini regime. Britain ruled Bahrain for over 200 years, and still retains great influence there. Yet the Foreign Office didn't condemn the Bahraini government's violence, and the BBC didn't report it. Now, I want to find out why the atrocities in Bahrain are being ignored here in the UK. Now, the Foreign Office won't speak to us, so I've come here to Chatham House, Britain's foremost foreign policy think tank, to discover what the British government really thinks about Bahrain. Jane Kinnenmond is a senior research fellow at Chatham House and an expert on Bahrain.
Now, I'd like to show you some footage I filmed in Bahrain. That's the funeral of a 15-year-old boy called Syed Ahmed Shams. Yeah. He was shot in the face by a policeman at close range while playing football with his friends. Now, the people at this funeral told me that the British government is very keen to protest at lethal use of force against protesters in some countries, in Syria, for example. But so far, the British government has said nothing about this incident or others like it.
Of course, there's a lot of different accounts coming out, and I think I can't remember what the officials have to say in this particular instance, but they are essentially accusing opposition groups of making a lot of things up. You'll probably have seen the head of the Bahrain Centre for Human Rights has been summoned for questioning for allegedly fabricating photos and things like this. I don't know if you have a chance to interview Foreign Office officials, but I imagine that they would say that there's still doubts about what has actually happened.
No, the Foreign Office won't speak to us. They haven't responded to our request for interviews so far. Actually, the Bahraini government said this boy just fell over and broke his neck. Now, I saw his body, I saw a bullet wound to his face. Just what is the nature of the relationship between the UK and Bahrain?
Well, it's always been a very close relationship. Britain was the imperial power in Bahrain in a protectorate relationship since the 19th century. Bahrain only became independent from the UK in 1971, and there have continued to be very close political ties, business ties, cultural ties as well.
Does the UK still retain any political influence in Bahrain?
I think it certainly does. I mean, Britain and America are the key foreign allies outside the Gulf countries. I don't think that Britain and America have been driving forces behind the recent crackdown in Bahrain, which I think has been much more heavily influenced by Saudi Arabia. But I think Britain certainly is still a very important voice in Bahrain.
This was the son of a 71-year-old man who was asphyxiated by tear gas in his own home.
I read about him also.
USA supporting our government to kill us. To kill us. What is this? This to protect citizens or to protect our government? This is made by USA. USA. What do you say, Mr. Obama? What do you say about this one?
Do you think the British government's been too slow or too wary of criticising these acts?
I think already last year, Bahrain had opted to take a much more hardline approach towards its opposition. I mean, looking from about the end of August last year. And I do think there should have been more said earlier, actually, before it escalated to this level. Mm. I think Bahrain carried out some, in the Gulf context, significant political reforms about 10 years ago, and Britain and America praised it highly for those reforms. But I think a problem was that those reforms then stalled, began to reverse, and actually Bahrain's foreign allies didn't do very much to point that out. And I think it would have been helpful to say more earlier on. There is always a debate about to what extent things are said behind closed doors and so on. And I think that would probably be an argument people would make that, you know, there were things being said in private and so on, but clearly didn't have a very significant effect.
It's becoming clear that the British establishment has insulated itself from the brutal consequences of its support for the Bahraini regime. Thousands of miles from the Persian Gulf, in a peaceful English village, I met Conservative MP Ian Liddell Granger, a member of the British Parliament's UK Bahrain group, a body traditionally supportive of the Bahraini government.
Do you think the Foreign Office is doing enough?
I think they are, because the situation is extremely fluid. It's very difficult sometimes, and we're seeing this in Libya especially, where both sides were unsure who's doing what. Now that quite often happens, because these situations tend to start off very small, and then grow like a snowball, for want of a better word. And I think what has happened here is that there is a lot of confusion. And I think the Foreign Office has been making it very clear. They want to know what's happening, why it's happening, and to try and understand not only the government side, but also what the people are complaining and protesting about. Because Bahrain, we've had a very long history of friendship with Bahrain and the people of Bahrain.
This is the funeral of a 15-year-old boy who was shot in the face by the police while playing football. His family asked me to show this to the government in Britain. They want Britain to intervene in the same way Britain has in Libya.
Have you passed this on to the government?
I'm trying to pass this on to the Foreign Office. Do you expect any actual practical outcome if I do?
Well, I would like to think we can say to the Bahrainis there should be a full inquiry, as we're doing when one of our own people was pushed at the G20, and we're having an inquiry into that. And it's the same principle, that there must be an inquiry into this. That poor family, it's quite absolutely distraught by what's happened. And it seemed to be a younger brother there who was in the first part of the film. And you can understand the anguish and the worry, and the same with this country. And I would urge you to send it to the Foreign Office, and can assure you that if you can't get to the Foreign Office, if you send me a copy, my office a copy, I will send it to the Foreign Office.
I definitely will do that. If I can show you a couple of more things.
Yeah, please do.
Every few hundred metres in Bahrain, there are military checkpoints, police checkpoints, and people are essentially dragged out of the cars randomly and beaten at the side of the road and taken into police custody. I saw that. You see the policeman's kicking a hooded suspect.
Well, this is totally unacceptable.
You can see the policeman there punching a hooded suspect there.
What's happened there?
That's another suspect.
Oh, I see. Oh, so it's a human. Good Lord.
I saw this.
Well, I'm happy to pass those photographs on as well, without any problems at all.
I can show you this. That's a bullet hole in a lamppost where the police had fired live rounds into a group of peaceful protesters.
I would urge you to send them to start with as a journalist, to ask for comment as a journalist in your credit. But if you would like me to send them as well, then I'm more than happy to send them. And you can email me on the email you've got. I'm more than happy to send those up.
Why has the reaction of the British government been so different to essentially the abuse of the civilian population in Libya on the one hand and Bahrain on the other?
That's a very good question indeed. And there's, as you're well aware, I'm Conservative MP as well as being a part of the All Parliamentary Group. And we've had major conversations with David Cameron, the Prime Minister, over this and said, look, what happens when other countries, and we have situations in Syria, in Qatar, in Aden, Yemen, Eritrea, and we've actually got British nationals out there. And we said, look, what is the difference? And it is a very good question, and I don't think we've had it adequately answered in Parliament or to the British people. And I think you can't differentiate between one person and another who's suffering the same thing. So I do think that the government needs to address this really urgently, but I think you'll find that is a fairly common theme throughout the House.
But surely the government knows, I mean...
Oh, I don't think... I think this is why it's important you must get these films to the government. Yeah. And I really would urge you to please send them to the Foreign Secretary and to the Secretary of State for International Development.
Yeah.
And I'm more than happy to help you on that.
Now, we've asked the Foreign Office for an interview and they've said they're too busy. We've given them a long list of questions about Bahrain and we haven't heard a response. For the British government, it seems, Bahrain just isn't an issue.
To find out why, I asked Labour MP Jeremy Corbyn.
Now, William Hague said in Parliament that Britain supports the rights of freedom of assembly and freedom of expression in Bahrain, but I've personally seen peaceful protests broken up by shotgun fire and tear gas. What's the truth here?
William Hague has made statements in Parliament in response to questions from me about Bahrain, in which he said he supports the right of free assembly, he supports the right of demonstration, supports the right of a free press. The reality is that no significant pressure has been put on the Bahrain government at all. There's been no sanctions against the Bahrain administration. There's been no suspension of trade. And even if the continued suspension of arms sales goes on, it doesn't make an awful lot of difference because the Bahrain army is so well equipped and so well resourced, it doesn't need any more at the present time. I think the real interest is that Britain wants to maintain the status quo in Bahrain.
Even as I witnessed the regime's atrocities in Bahrain, the Foreign Minister, William Hague, pointedly avoided criticising Bahrain at a major conference on human rights.
In the last 4 weeks, you have seen a very sinister turn towards fascism in the world. And it's exemplified by Hillary Clinton, who has stated that the Bahraini government has the right to invite in foreign troops to do the dirty killing of the people. Now, William Hague is supporting that. He is supporting that. He hasn't got the courage to stand up and say, do you know that the Bahraini ambassador is in fact the man who's been organising the torture? He did it from 2007 onwards. He was head of security. And I've said to his face that you are a torturer and in due course we'll arraign you before a criminal court and we'll have you for your torture. It may take time. These things can take years or even decades. But we will get him and his cronies and his father and his relatives, because they are corrupt and they're fascist and they're torturing. But the UK government is supporting these people. And the UK government is on the wrong side of history. It's quite disgraceful, but I'm afraid, face up to the facts, that's the situation at this moment.
There's a real sense of silence from the British establishment about Bahrain. The BBC won't talk to us, the Foreign Office certainly won't talk to us. It's as if Bahrain just isn't an issue in Britain.
Usually the media follows the official lines of those governments, and as we have seen in the past few weeks, the Western governments, especially the United States and the UK, have not been active in taking measures to stop the atrocities being committed in Bahrain, and they have preferred to keep the Bahraini affairs behind because they know that if there is going to be a change in Bahrain, then the rest of the Gulf will also need to change, because as you know, the Gulf has been under hereditary dictatorships for decades, and I think it is time for that state of affairs to change. And the Western governments are apparently in collusion with those regimes to remain as they are in return for economic and strategic benefits.
Liberal peer Lord Avebury has campaigned against human rights abuses in Bahrain for decades. So what does he think?
If the relationship between Britain and Bahrain is so close, then why has there been such limited media coverage of the events in Bahrain here?
Well, that's a good question, because, I mean, as things have got steadily worse, you would have expected that, considering that the government is in favour of doing something about human rights everywhere in the world, there would have been some vigorous discussion in Parliament, in the media and so on. Whereas, in fact, I mean, out of the whole region, you see Bahrain is more or less ignored. Syria, Yemen, North Africa, there's been discussion in all of the countries where unrest and disorder has erupted since the Arab Spring. But Bahrain, it seems for some reason, is kept in a backwater, and one can only assume that the government and the media don't think it's very important. Partly a question of size, of course, in comparison with the other countries, but partly also, you may think, because these friendly relations that we've already had in the past mean that we don't want to do anything that will upset the rulers, including any criticisms of them for the gross violations of human rights, of freedom of expression, freedom of assembly, detention without trial, arbitrary execution, you name it. I mean, just about everything in the category of human rights which is contained in the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, they've broken, and it's getting steadily worse.
So are Mr. Hague's words just empty rhetoric?
So far they have been empty rhetoric, and we have seminars roughly every 6 months in Parliament to draw attention to the human rights issues. We always issue reports on those, and we send them obviously to Foreign Office ministers and to the Human Rights Parliamentary Group. So we try and get them raised, but until now, we have not, I must say, been very successful. Well, you know about Mr. Hague's statement, which was in support of general human rights, such as rights of freedom of assembly. But when you come to particular issues, like the arrests of journalists and so on, we don't hear a word from him, nor do we hear from Alistair Burt, who's the minister in charge of the region.
Essentially, you know, Bahrain has been an ally of Britain for over 100 years. And, the US in particular has its naval base to protect there. So they have not been as outspoken as they would be if these events were happening somewhere else.
So effectively, has the Bahraini government got a free pass to do what it wants?
I think the Bahraini government still needs to keep an eye on international opinion. They still need foreign allies. It's a small country. They do depend partly on the US for their security, as all the small Gulf states do. I think they also have to think about their ability to attract foreign investment, because the economy is quite dependent on the banking sector and the presence of foreign companies. And certainly what's happened this year is not going to be at all good for that investment. However, Bahrain does seem to have become even closer than usual to Saudi Arabia this year. It does have increased financial aid from the GCC. It's obviously got the troops there. So I think it's moved a little bit further away from the West, a little bit closer to Saudi.
When we started our uprising, we were not relying on the Americans, we were not relying on the West. We just want them, one thing from them is to take a neutral position. We have a dictators. We are in a region ruled by tribal dictators. And we are fighting for democracy. We're fighting for human rights. We're fighting for an elected government and a constitution that is written by people. There's no justification for any country to support this regime in a cracking down and uprising calling for democracy, especially from Western countries who talks about human rights values and democratic principles, and you see them having a different eye, or they look at the situation in a different angle, or having a double standard foreign policy. Not the Saudis, not the Bahrain, not the GCC will let people go back home unless and until those demands are achieved. Otherwise, things is not going to be stable. With their tank, with their airplane, with their arms, they can silence it for some time, but they cannot silence it forever.
The silence from the corridors of power is echoed in Britain's state-funded media. When I was in Bahrain, many Bahrainis complained to me that BBC Arabic and BBC World, both funded by the Foreign Office, were ignoring their plight. I wanted to find out why, but the BBC refused to answer my many requests for an interview.
Why is the media here in the UK so relatively silent about the human rights abuses in Bahrain?
Well, the media in this country has become more pliant and more in tune with government thinking over the years, because there is more competition in the media. There is less money spent on news gathering by each individual channel. There's far less research done. There's far less in-depth, insightful programs about places. So they tend to live on press handouts, live on media events. And the British government has quite clearly steered the media away from Bahrain, steered them away from any discussion about human rights in Saudi Arabia, done a great deal to support arms exports to both of those countries, and steered the whole media in the direction of the Libya story. And so the media are generally cheerleaders for the government's view on Libya at the present time.
The British media is not independent, and I don't think it ever has been. There's a great change going on as regards the media. The main television media in this country and the United States and the newspapers are losing out to the alternative media. And one of the reasons is that the main media were a bunch of liars. And they do it quite subtly, usually by omission. But the fact of the matter is that they in a profound way, they reflect the desires of a political establishment.
The BBC have refused all our requests for an interview, but the consequences of its silence are clear. When even politicians can complain they don't understand the true horror of the situation in Bahrain, then something terribly wrong has happened to the media here in the UK.